Haven't said this in a while. If you're here for the first time and don't consider yourself to be a religious person, so glad you're here. I'm just thankful for you. Or if you're watching online, listening somehow. If you are a skeptic or have that in your background, I share that with you, and I'm glad that you are asking questions. Take your time. Look into the claims of Jesus Christ, and I would ask that you specifically look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and see if you find a better explanation other than it really happened and therefore Christianity is valid. Take your time, look into it. I pray for you. Glad you're here. Hey, we're doing something different this morning. I'm trying this. I've got a friend of mine who's like a day older than Moses, and he preaches with one of these, where it's a fill-in-the-blank. If you don't have one, if you'd raise your hand, and the ushers have some, they'll be glad to get something to you. My friend Sean, we've got some front row people. I love the front row ladies. Wow, you guys are inspiration to me. I don't know many pastors get a fan club of front row ladies. Glad you're here. Okay, so Romans 12 is what I heard read this morning. That's what we want to talk about. If you can find that in your Bibles, if you know where the Gospels are, to the right of that, to the right of the book of Acts, and then Romans chapter 12. My summary statement of the Gospel is this: life transformation through Jesus Christ. And what I'm trying to communicate when I summarize the Gospel that way is it's more than the body of information that helps you to be saved and to establish a relationship with Jesus Christ. You shortchange the gospel if you think it's an ending point. That you know, share the gospel means you got some information, you respond to that, you're saved, and then you're done. That's a shortchange of the gospel because it's an entire life through which God is changing you, transforming you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, we learned in Romans chapter 1 that Paul wanted to go to the church in Rome and preach the gospel to them. They were Christians already, and he wanted to preach the gospel to them. Well, here we are in Romans chapter 12, and Paul is still preaching the gospel. It's not like it ended when he communicated the body information that they needed to be saved. So what I hope to do with you this morning as we enter into kind of a new section of Romans is to show you that gospel transformation can occur in your life. Before we get to the meat of the message here, I'd like to point out the first word that I have in the NIV Bible in Romans chapter 12 is the word therefore. There's 25 therefores in Romans. I counted them up, and there's some good ones. There's three really good ones that I want to point out to you. First one is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that particular therefore is a summary of what Paul just talked about in the first four chapters. We have a problem, we're not holy, and God is holy. So how do we put this together? How can an unholy person or a sinful person somehow be made right with a holy God? How does that happen? Well, we have been justified through faith, not by works. This is through faith you latch on to this. We have peace with God. Never again are you at war with God. Now, you might rebel, you might resist, but in terms of the overall general warfare, that is over. You belong to Jesus Christ. Isn't that great news this morning? Here's another therefore, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, it happens, and you've seen this. You might have experienced this for yourself. You can be a Christian and you can sin. Can you be eternally secure as a Christian who sometimes struggles with sin? It looks like you sure can. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. God does not condemn you if you are in Christ. He wants to forgive. He wants to draw you close. He wants to heal you. He wants to transform you. There is no condemnation in Christ. And now we have Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And NIV again places the therefore first. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. And it continues on from there. And I want to particularly point out verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What I'm suggesting to you this morning is that life transformation is available to you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about how that happens this morning. There are two key phrases that you heard in this reading in verse 2. Do not be conformed and be transformed. The transformation that you can expect as a Christian person is more than a Sunday morning experience. It's more than giving up NFL. It's more than being here. More than that. Day-to-day, regular, ordinary, routine aspects of life, you get to experience a deep, everyday change of heart, change of character, change of mind. You are given a new life. You get to experience life with Jesus Christ, who said, "Follow me." Isn't that amazing? If you're looking for deep, real, lasting change, this is it. If you're looking for some way to be a better husband, better father, better wife, better mother, better grandparent, better child, better single person, better career person, neighbor, friend, you name it, this is it. If you're looking for somehow managing through that struggle with sin, Romans chapter 12 will help you. If you wonder what it's like to follow Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 12 is a chapter that you will like. In the book of Romans, I noticed there are seven commands leading up to chapter 12. Seven commands. So far we've gone through Romans 1 through 11. You have encountered seven times some form of an imperative or a command. Well, in Romans chapter 12, there are 41. There's 80 in the entire book of Romans. So in other words, half of the commands, half the imperatives that Paul writes in this great long letter of what it's like to follow Jesus Christ, half of them appear in Romans chapter 12. The commands of God teach us what it looks like to not be conformed to the pattern of the world and to be transformed. So, for instance, it's kind of vague sometimes to say, you know what, Jesus summarized the entire scripture by saying, love God and love people. And maybe you look at this phrase and you do not be conformed, be transformed. It's not a hard thing to wonder, well, what in the world does that look like? How do I know when I'm doing it? How do I know when I'm not doing it? How do I know when I'm right in the middle of God's will and I'm just nailing it in terms of following Jesus? How do I know when I'm half in rebellion and I want to, but I can't quite obey? How do I know these things? Well, we have that with the imperatives, the commands of Scripture. 41 times in Romans chapter 12, you're going to hear something that says, do not do this or do this, love that, hate that. You're going to see that in Romans chapter 12. That helps you to understand what it looks like to love God and love people, or more specifically, as we look at it, to not be conformed and to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. These terms will not be left vague to you. They will come with clarity. And much of the clarity is in the imperatives or the commands of Scripture. Well, once in a while, not once in a while, but I do like to peek into the original language, and that helped me here. Do not be conformed is written with a structure as to mean you do the work. But be transformed is different. It's written with a structure as to mean the work is done to you. It helps to remember that the Bible looks at salvation in a way that's more comprehensive than what we sometimes do. You are not the agent of transformation, in other words. You are the object of transformation. God is doing something to you and in you, and you are being changed. Well, we have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin, and we will be saved from the presence of sin. Being saved from the penalty of sin is past tense. That happened somewhere back in our past, right? For some of you, maybe you came to Christ last week. Thank you for coming today or for listening. Some of you became a Christian a year ago, 5, 10, 20. There's a few of us who became Christians a very long time ago. We can't even count the number. That is being saved from the penalty of sin. Remember, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Being saved from the power of sin is right now. We wrestle with sin. The reality is we're not perfect. We are redeemed people, but we're not perfect. And there's evidence of that in our life. We are imperfect, and we struggle with sin. We're being rescued from that even as we speak. But then also we will be saved from the presence of sin. We will go home to be with our Lord in eternity. There will be not an ounce of sin in our final living place with God. Well, Jesus purchased all of that for all of us, and God the Father wants all of that. Now, listen carefully. I want to make this statement. It is the role of the Holy Spirit to apply what God has purposed and what Jesus has obtained. It is the role of the Holy Spirit to apply that, what God has purposed and what Jesus has obtained. Holy Spirit applies that into your life. So, in view of the Christian life, when the Holy Spirit applies what Jesus has obtained in terms of the power of sin, that means the Holy Spirit is giving us the divine enablement we need to have both the desire and the ability to say yes to Jesus and no to sin at every opportunity. If your view of the Christian life is to work a good day, to work an honest day, and to come home and relax, play with the kids, maybe have a drink, watch social media, get engaged in a book, eventually hit the sack, and then do it all over the next day, I just simply want you to know you're stopping short. God has a lot more for you than that. C.S. Lewis, who was a prolific writer of Christianity in the 50s, and he died on the same day of JFK, he wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. You might recall that. He said, a lot of Christians are content with making mud pies in their backyard when they could be making sandcastles at the beach. There is more for you than what you are presently experiencing in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Some of that more is transformed mind as you engage the Word of God. So let's stretch this out a little bit more, Romans chapter 12. Conform is external. Transform is internal. Conform is pressure that's placed upon you. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. An early translation of Scripture was called the Phillips translation. It might have been called the Phillips paraphrase, J.B. Phillips. And I remember this phrase is recorded as, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's a good one for understanding. That's an external pressure, something that's happening to you from the outside. Transformation is something that's happening with you, and the Holy Spirit is doing that. You need to know that left to your natural self, you will trend toward being conformed to the pattern of this world. I think thousands of years of human history bear that out. Just take a look at our culture today. Trending toward being conformed, you know, whatever the latest is, and if it's cancel culture, if it's BLM, whatever the latest is, that's what you got to be, or else you're in trouble with the pattern of this world. We trend toward that, and that helps to understand why some groups of people who have swapped their votes or changed their positions, they just sort of go along with the latest. Well, because we trend toward conforming to the pattern of the world. That's just our natural bent, our natural disposition. You'll have to resist that if you want to follow Jesus Christ, because he wants to transform you into something different. Well, it helps to read Romans 12 in the context of the entire letter. I was one of those as a young Christian. I memorized Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it sure sounded good. And, you know, just it's like that is hanging out there in the universe all by itself, and I just grabbed onto that. And there was a lot of productivity with that because God would bring it to my mind time and time again. But then I came to realize, you know, with this therefore sitting there, it's in the context of the entire letter. In other words, in light of everything that Paul has written in the first 11 chapters of Romans, therefore, here's what I want you to think, brothers. Here's what I want you to be, sisters. Here's what I want you to aim for, church. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, strive toward this. And remember what God has done for you. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember those things. Remember that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Here's 41 commands, by the way. That kind of thing. That's the flavor of how Paul writes Romans chapter 12. Now be careful here. You cannot transform yourself into a good Christian. Oh, you might change into a pretty good church person, but you cannot transform yourself into a deep, dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. That has to be done in you and to you by the Holy Spirit. One of the tools that the Holy Spirit uses in his work of interchange is Scripture. Notice it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't that interesting? be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's not meditation. That's engaging in Scripture. Jerry Bridges has written a couple of books that have helped me along the line of going through Romans, and I just realized this morning as I was looking at it, we started Romans over a year ago, and there were some breaks in there, and just, you know, COVID got in, and we did some different things, but here we are. It's been over a year since we looked at Romans 1. And when we started Romans, I recommended that you read a book by Jerry Bridges called The Pursuit of Holiness. In fact, I took some guys through that in the summer. We had a great time looking at The Pursuit of Holiness. Well, he's written another good one. It's called The Transforming Grace of the... I wrote it down here. The Transforming Power of the Gospel. Jerry Bridges, The Transforming Power of the Gospel. He says this... Scripture is the primary instrument of the Holy Spirit as He works to transform us. Scripture is the primary instrument. In other words, the Bible is huge in your spiritual growth. I hope you have good contact with the Bible. The Bible is huge in your spiritual growth. And if you think about it, this makes total sense. The Bible is Holy Spirit inspired, and your mind can then be Holy Spirit transformed. Again, here's from Jerry Bridges. It is the Holy Spirit who gave us the Scriptures. Yeah. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to understand the Scriptures. Yeah. And it is the Holy Spirit who directs us and enables us to apply the Scriptures to our daily lives. Well said. So the Holy Spirit is the ultimate author of the Bible, and the Bible is the tool that God uses to renew your minds. And that enables us to grow as followers of Jesus Christ. I hope you're in some type of Bible reading program. Maybe not necessarily a thick book of a program, but just some kind of a schedule or an idea or a plan. I hope you have a plan. There's lots of read through the Bible in a year plans, or you could take a book of the Bible and work your way through that and then go to the next one. Sometimes I've taken a short book in the New Testament. I've read that every day for a month. Well, that changes how I connect with the Scripture. Oftentimes, it's read something and then move on to the next, and, you know, change a channel. But I hope you have some kind of a Bible reading program or plan that gets you in close contact with the Word of God. This is why this transformation that occurs as you read Scripture, this is why, in part, you will notice sins in your life at a point in time, and you realize that's been in my life for a long time, and I never noticed that before. Because this transformation process leads you to become more sensitive to sin and more aware of the godliness that you need to bring into your life. And so you might have moments where it just dawns and you realize, man, I've been selfish forever. I've been disrespectful to people for a very long time. I don't like my words. In fact, I don't think I've ever liked my words. You might have moments like that where you just shudder a little bit. Wow, I used to be like this, and nobody told me. I just wasn't aware. Maybe people were telling me, and I didn't hear it. Didn't want to hear it. Those moments are normal and natural in the growing Christian because your mind is being transformed, and you have this increased sensitivity to sin, but also this increased desire to bring in the godliness that God has for you. Okay, well, let's walk through this again. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, I notice it says, and the word mercy is plural. NIV has it as singular, and there's a bit of a downside to that. If you read from the ESV, it's mercies. And I think some of the other popular translations, the good translations, do bring it across as mercies. This is the motivation for wanting to pursue God. And it's easy to think mercy, well, that's just sort of a general category of an attribute of God. He's just merciful. God's merciful, so in view of God's mercy. Or you might think, if you're thinking it's singular, you might think in terms of, well, yeah, I know when God's mercy was displayed, that was the cross of Christ. So in view of that, you know, those are good. But it's mercies, plural, in view of the multitude of God's mercy. In other words, in view of the abundance of mercies that God has shown to you. In view of this lavish amount of mercies that God makes available to you. In view of that, do this. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mercies speaks of a number of ways that God has shown his mercy. His mercy is abundant. His mercies are abundant. So this is our response to the gospel. We resist sin and sinful desires, and that means do not be conformed. But we also pursue Jesus and his desires. And that's in the phrase, be transformed. So we don't park it and just go through the motions, or maybe not even motions. You know, we don't just simply wait to change or to grow in Christ. We actually pursue Jesus and we actively resist sin. Now, a common mistake to make, and again, I'm pointing out the word therefore here in Romans chapter 12 so we don't make this mistake, but a common mistake to make, and I made this for years when I memorized Romans 12, 1 and 2, I did memorize the therefore, but I just ignored it. You know, let's get to the good stuff. Therefore, it sounds like he's rambling. You know, I didn't know what to say. I got to use up some words. Somebody's going to count my words. I want a whole lot of words, so I'm going to put the word therefore in this whole letter 25 times. So I just read it. The be conformed and do not be conformed, but be transformed. I would just read it like that. Okay, so that's something I got to do. I mean, that's what it sounds like. It's something I'm on my own to do this. And then you read forward, and there's a bunch of commands. So I guess I'm on my own. I'm going to slug it out. I'll write some post-it notes and put it on the mirror so I remember I'm supposed to do these things. Therefore. So in light of all the stuff that Paul has said, you know what? He has said a lot about the Holy Spirit. But there's no mention of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 12. And so what we do is a mistake that I think is fairly common is we can read this chapter of Scripture and think, well, this is absent, this is after the Holy Spirit. There's really no Holy Spirit activity because he doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit here. But he's just spent a whole lot of time talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, he's bringing this in with the word therefore. He's not leaving that behind. And so I just scoot back in my Bible, I look a little bit, and I see Romans chapter 8. Woo! Beautiful chapter on all this stuff that we have in Christ. The first half of the chapter is on the Holy Spirit. And my chapter title, or I guess this would be my section title, says Life Through the Spirit. That counts into Romans chapter 12. I have to bring this forward into Romans chapter 12. One of the ways I read Romans chapter 12 properly is I read about this stuff that we have in the Holy Spirit. So I'll just take you, if you're in Romans 8, I'll draw your attention to verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Ooh, you might like this one. The mind of the sinful person is death. Oh, that doesn't sound too good, but there's a contrast here. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Well, that explains a lot that happens within me, even this morning. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Okay, that's me and my natural self. That's why I like to say I'm a sinner by birth and by choice. I came into the world like this. Hostile to God. Let's see. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Ooh. Okay, verse 9. You are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Oh, that's a relief. That's a huge relief. And then reading down to verse 13 was a game changer for me. And quite honestly, I didn't notice this until I was teaching Romans 8. In fact, where this came to my attention was reading that book by Jerry Bridges, The Pursuit of Holiness. He pointed this out. And another one in Romans 6, that's why I was thinking of it. But here we are, Romans 8, verse 13. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now, did you catch how there's this operation of God is doing something and we're doing something? Did you notice that? The second part of verse 13. if by the Spirit you put to death. So who's putting it to death? It sounds like, you know, just first person, it sounds like I'm doing this. Well, how? By the Spirit. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That needs to be brought into Romans 12. So when you read 41 commands in Romans 12, understand you were doing it, but you're doing it in the strength of the Lord. The Holy Spirit empowers you to do that. Yes, it's totally your responsibility, but it's totally the power of God. And you tap into that in an ordinary day just simply by engaging in the Word of God, in prayer, spiritual disciplines. It's a great starting point, just simply Word of God. Let's not muddy the water. Okay, well, all that stuff, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Wow. Okay. Offer your bodies. There were a lot of sacrifices in the Old Testament. Did you notice that? If you're going to read through and you're humming along and you manage to get through the first five books of the Bible, wow, there's a lot of sacrifices in the Old Testament. Romans 12 is not referring to a sin offering type of a sacrifice, because Jesus is our sin offering. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus has already been offered for us. We don't have to offer more sacrifices for sin. The idea behind a sacrifice, particularly in Romans 12, is not payment, but total devotion. Total devotion. Sacrifices in the Old Testament were total and complete. There were no partial sacrifices. It's not like you took an animal's leg. No, you took the animal's life. The animal was killed and burned, no turning back, no partial sacrifice. No question how much of the animal was offered, all of it. Total devotion. Total, whole, and complete. Well, Jesus came along in the New Testament, he said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Taking up a cross is not a reference to suffering, and you might have learned it that way, and it's really not a reference to suffering. It's a reference to identification with Jesus. So a person who took up a cross and was going to a place to die had one thing to do. There were not a multitude of options. It wasn't like this person had a menu, could pick and choose, I'm going to do this thing and this thing. Maybe even next week I'll do this thing over here. No, you're traveling from point A to point B for the purpose of dying, and that was it. So when Jesus traveled that what we call the Via Dolorosa, from point A to point B, he had one thing to do, just get the cross there, or the cross beam. He was just walking straight, getting to the place of execution. There was no turning back. There were no alternatives. There were no other options. He had one thing to do, travel to the point where he would die. That's what Jesus is talking about. I think that's the flavor of the book of Romans when we read this, that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. The way we sometimes say it around here is that's the lordship of Jesus Christ. That as Lord, we don't negotiate with him. We don't get to tell the king what to do. We're servants. We're slaves. The lordship of Jesus Christ, he gets to say when, where, how, what it is that we are to speak, how we are to live. He sets the boundaries, and we just say, yes, thank you very much. For you need to know that born into this world as a sinner who is hostile to God and naturally rebellious to God, you need to know this. The toughest part of following Jesus is whether or not you're going to have a Lord or be one. And that will be hard. That will probably be a lifelong struggle for you. It is for me. Well, this manner of worship goes beyond something that happens in a church service. I love our church services. Love that we even have a church. There was a period of time I wondered, will we ever have a church again? Did everybody just leave and we're all doing internet stuff? So glad that we have a church. Glad that you're here to gather and to be with us. Well, just looking at Romans 12, here's some of the commands. And you'll notice this is everyday kind of a life, and it's not necessarily religious. Verse 9, chapter 12, verse 9, the second little statement there, hate what is evil. That's so important in our society. I think we echo Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, where they call good evil and evil good. Abortion is evil. Can I say that here? I want to get recorded by that. Abortion is evil. Don't hate the abortion people. Don't hate them. Don't hate the abortionist doctors. Don't hate the young couple that's confused and hurting and deceived and they think that there's only one option in life. Don't hate them. Hate abortion. Hate that. It's evil. Hate it. Evil. What else do we have here? How about verse 10? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's in command form. Why would you have to tell somebody that? It's not natural for them to do. Let's see. Verse 13, the second part of verse 13. Practice hospitality. I taught on that a while back, and yeah, that's in command form, meaning you got to do it. Practice hospitality. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That's in command form. That's not necessarily a religious type of thing. Verse 17, don't repay anyone for evil. That kind of echoes how it ends. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a lot there. And again, if you take just a few moments to kind of, if you were to read through that and sort that out, it does make sense that Jesus said the sum of the law is to love God and love people, because all of those would trace back to you are either loving God or you're loving people, or maybe even both. But the specifics of what that looks like on a day-to-day basis, an average, ordinary day, yeah, it's this stuff. It's the commands, the imperatives of Scripture. Okay, so the difference between the first 11 chapters of Romans and then the last section starting with Romans chapter 12 is the difference between what Jesus has done for you, that's the first half, or large, a little bit larger than half, first section, what Jesus has done for you and what the Holy Spirit desires to do in you. So we've shifted now. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 is a big shift. It's a hinge. Now we're going in a different direction. And all of this is under the sovereignty of God. Isn't that great? So here's, you got a few notes here in your outline. Just wanted to bring this out. Salvation is something you believe in and receive. You don't work for it. You don't do a bunch of things. You show up and say, here I am. I need you. I repent and I ask forgiveness. That's believe and receive salvation. Now, sanctification is this process of growing more like Jesus Christ. That's something you believe and pursue. That's different. So you have believe and receive, believe and pursue. Justification is that moment when you're declared to be as righteous as Jesus Christ, and we looked at that. Romans chapter 4 was really good at justification. You believe and receive. You don't work for that. You don't attain it someday. You believe it, you receive it. But then on the other hand, transformation is something you believe and pursue. It's not automatic, and it's not handed to you. Redeemed is something you believe in and receive, but being renewed is something you believe and pursue. So I hope you're seeing the balance here. Don't hear this as a burden. These are blessings. The commands of Scripture are blessings. This is what you can do in Christ as you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says this, and notice the connection with the Word of God. Solid food, that's the word. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Boy, and we need that ability to distinguish, because we have something within ourselves that wants to pursue evil, and we also have the natural drift of culture that goes more toward calling good evil and calling evil good. We need the Word of God. Well, Romans 12:2, there are some opinions about this little item called the will of God. In the NIV, it reads this way. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And it sounds like good, pleasing, and perfect is a description of this thing called the will of God. But I looked into other, just English translations. I'm not playing games with original language here. Just looking at English translations. Let's put up on the screen from the ESV. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The difference there is the attributes of good, acceptable, and perfect might not be a description of this thing called the will of God, but it might be instead describing a choice or a pursuit or how you handle a relationship or an open door. That is all of that being in the will of God. So how do you know what the will of God is? You know what? You renew your mind and you are in a better position to discern what is good and acceptable and perfect. So when the culture calls good evil and evil good, a mind that is renewed by the word of God discerns that and says, no, that thing there, that's not the word. That's not the will of God. Not for me. Load up material possessions and eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow, maybe someday I die and just sort of live for myself and I see a lot of people doing it. That's not for me. That's not what God has called me to. You will be able to discern that. And I think that's the force of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it really comes out quite well in the ESV. This, again, helps you to live with confidence as a Christian. This is so important because there are so many situations and circumstances and opportunities in life that just simply present themselves, and it comes to you as a little bit of a surprise. You live most of your life on the run. You simply will not have time to retreat and call a prayer meeting or ask a friend to pray or put it on the prayer chain. And by the way, if you put it on there, I will pray for you. Please put stuff on there that helps me to understand how it is that you want to grow spiritually. I know the best friend who has a neighbor in Kansas has a medical need, and yes, we will pray for that. But sometimes just put the things in there that are personal to you and spiritual that you wouldn't mind other people reading about. Definitely, I'll pray for that. I probably shouldn't have walked down that tangent. I kind of lost my thought. Oh, well. Helps you to live with confidence as a Christian. Oh, I know what I was going to say. What would Jesus do? Love that. But most of life, you don't have opportunity to do that. The kids need a response from you now. You need to know how you're going to have a conversation with the waiter right now. Right now. Honesty is often a knee-jerk response where you realize, I got more change than I should have. I'm going to give it back right now. You don't have time to retreat and pause and consider, what would Jesus do? Well, you know what? The moment's passed sometimes. And so your best bet is to have this mind that is so well connected with Scripture and the Word of God, the will of God just permeates. And hopefully you live in the will of God just simply out of who you are as a renewed person. I've noticed in our society that it's easy to be distracted away from following Jesus because we are so busy following everyone online. We don't have time sometimes. We don't take the time to follow the one who said, follow me. May it never be. In the pursuit of God's will, God offers to you a renewed mind. That's not automatic, but it is an offer. It's a definite offer. Best place to start as you pursue a deeper relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ is to get into the Word. Even better, get into the Word with God's people somehow. Here's another way to look at it. Where do you want to be in 1 year or 5 years or 10 years? Now, you can choose to pretty much be the same person you presently are today. Or you could choose to grow in Christ. If you choose to grow in Christ, you cannot coast. You need to swim uphill. Because you have both a culture and a sin nature that resists that. Again, if you want to be closer to God, more in sync with His will, get in the Word. Stay in the Word, my friends. Stay in the Word. Let's pray. Our great and gracious God, you've given to us everything we need for a life of holiness and godliness. And some of that includes the English Bible. What we have written down for us in just a whole variety of translations, that's enough for us to read. We've got plenty to read. We just need the discipline to read it. Help us, dear God, one day at a time, one 10-minute segment at a time, or perhaps 15-minute segment, or whatever that might, maybe two of those segments or more, or a memorized portion. I pray that you'd keep us in your word. Keep us in close contact with the word of God. And use that to help us to not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Jesus' name I bring this prayer. Amen.